Hello and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast for Friday, 16th of February, 2018. I'm your host, David Hayden, and today I'm joined by Fuel and Feedstocks editor Stephen McGinn. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, David.
Stephen just returned from the National Ethanol Conference in San Antonio this past week. How was the conference and what did you find?
It was a great conference put on by the very powerful lobby group, the Renewable Fuels Association. RFA, they're not one to shy away from a fight, so right away, conference's first panel address that growing elf in the room, the electric vehicle.
So electric vehicles have been seen as a threat both by the ethanol lobby and the oil lobby, but what's their take on it in 2018?
It's a long-term threat. You know, it's not going to be until 2030, 2040 before, you know, those EVs are ubiquitous on the market. But again, those long lead times in manufacturing and production of vehicles and both the liquid fuels manufacturing, the threat's there. You know, it could pose a time when the refining lobby and the ethanol lobby both come back to the same table again to challenge the electric vehicle growth.
Talking on policy, let's shift to the next topic. What is going on with the renewable fuel standard?
The renewable fuel standards are left unchanged for corn-based ethanol in 2018, just leaving it right at 15 billion gallons. You know, and it came down slightly for cellulosic and biodiesel. The main focus coming off from the ethanol manufacturers is that market share. Right, they're coming off a record year in 2017. Production hit a record high, 15.8 billion gallons. Exports hit a record high, 1.4 billion gallon, and domestic sales hit a record.
But ethanol prices are still at record lows right now.
That's true. They've come up in the last few weeks or so, but you know, we finished 2017 with really sagging pricing, and you know, the largest producer, Archer Daniel Midland, said in their latest earnings report that margins were down on fuel production, so that is of concern to ethanol producers. So while on the surface ethanol is indeed strong, producers are still kind of on edge. With regards to that RFS, the battle lines have been drawn though. Ethanol makers want that blending mandate to go up to 15%, while the petroleum lobby wants to cap it at 10% or even decrease it.
And the petroleum lobby's been stating citations such as it's dangerous to engines to go up to 15%, things of that nature still.
Sure, they come off with the same token. It's corrosive to the engine. And there are accounts that do prove that, but for the most part, bumping it up from 10% to 15% really hasn't shown there's much of any kind of damage to an engine.
Shifting to exports, Stephen, could you talk a little bit about what the discussion was during the conference?
Sure. Obviously, I stated that exports have hit a record in 2017. We actually exported the most to Brazil. That was very interesting. Now Brazil is coming back with anti-dumping measures and tariffs. Also, the European Union is about to have their up for rediscussion and perhaps a renewal of those other anti-dumping tariffs. So there's a lot going on. But producers are really looking south of the border because the Mexican energy market is changing and it's evolving. The three largest cities in Mexico, Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey, use MTBE as an oxygenate. And those three cities make up about half of the country's gasoline consumption. However, that other half of the country, they're allowing the use of ethanol as their octane booster. So I think we should see some more exports of ethanol going into Mexico here start to grow over the next couple of years.
Shifting to another portion of the conference, you wrote an article yesterday regarding the flu epidemic.
As you know, this has been a really bad year for the flu, and that has caused a demand for industrial grades of ethanol, the 200 and 190 proof, you know, the real high purity stuff. So antibacterial gels and cleansers are in high demand. And buyers and those manufacturers have been going to a lot of ethanol and alcohol sellers to get spot purchasing. Normally that stuff's done a lot on contract, but because of the strong demand due to that flu season, there's been a lot of spot buying on the industrial ethanol market. Very interesting.
Anything you're keeping a particular eye on in the coming weeks?
As you know, summer driving season's right around the corner, so I'll be eyeing those demand statistics from the nation's motor gasoline. And anything coming out of Washington with the RFS.
Thanks for the update, Stephen.
Thanks for having me, David.
And thanks for listening, everyone. As always, if you'd like more information on the ethanol market or any of the markets we cover, be sure to visit ISIS.com. And be sure to tune in for our next podcast.